Being left behind was worse than she'd expected, though. Not knowing what was happening? All her friends off fighting a battle without her? Wondering if they really did find an antidote to the mind control? Is Treehopper finally free of Queen Wasp? Or is he killing Silkwings right now, dead-eyed and soulless? She shivers. How will he ever forgive himself if Wasp forces him to hurt Tau's friends? There hasn't been any sign of the Hive Wings since every single one of them suddenly froze, pivoted to the nearest window, and flew away north. It's peaceful, with all of Jewel Hive nearly empty, but also unsettling.
Tau!
Right. Not every Hive Wing. Lady Scarab marches into the kitchen and eyes the meatballs so intently she practically sticks her nose into one of them.
What is this? She demands. What herbs are you using? Why does it smell like that?
Antelope meatballs? Tau says patiently.
I have the only good recipe for antelope meatballs, Lady Scarab announces. If you didn't put chives in it, these won't be worth eating.
I did put chives in it, Tau says.
Probably too many, Lady Scarab sniffs.
Something crashes in the hall behind them, and they both turn toward the sound of galloping talon steps. Lady Jewel bursts into the kitchen, and the sight of her face sends Tau straight into full-blown panic.
Cinnabar was just here, Jewel gasps. With a message. The Hive Wings won. They're burning the poison jungle. And when they're done, they'll come here. And now they can mind control Silkwings as well.
What?
Tau clutches the counter, her talons slippery with grease. She can't process any piece of that information, let alone all of it. She latches on to the first thing.
Cinnabar is here? Is she all right?
She only had time to give me the message, Jewel says. They have to get to the other hives as fast as they can to warn the rest of the Silkwings. I told her we'd get everyone here to safety.
She glances around the room wildly, as though she's considering trying to fit every Silkwing in the hive into one of her potato barrels.
But how? Tau asks. Where can we go?
Her heart feels like it's squeezing inward, shrinking into a nest of fear and spikes. They weren't supposed to lose. It wasn't supposed to get worse.
Well, this is a fine mess, Lady Scarab hisses. Now who's going to take down my dreadful niece? Certainly would be nice if I had a daughter willing to fight for the throne that should actually be ours.
Not now, Mother, Jewel says.
Cinnabar said to bring everyone to Lake Scorpion. There's somewhere we can go from there, she said, but we have to all go together. She presses her claws to her temples for a moment. We need messengers to check every level of the hive,
someone to go to the webs, dragons to carry the cocoons of any Silkwings in metamorphosis right now, others to carry all the Silkwing and Hive Wing eggs in the hatcheries.
No, Scarab says, not the Hive Wing eggs, Jewel.
We can't leave them behind, Jewel protests. All those tiny dragonettes.
They're already infected, Scarab says bluntly. As soon as they hatch, Wasp will be able to see through their eyes, and then she'll find us. You can't bring them along, or you doom everyone else.
Jewel curls her talons and takes a deep breath. Tau knows she is thinking of her own children, who are out of reach now, summoned along with everyone else. Jewel had thought they were free of the mind control until they flew away with all the other Hive Wings. Lady Scarab must guess Jewel's thoughts, too, because she says, with unaccustomed gentleness,
I miss them, too. But it's better that we know, at least. She could have used them against us if she'd left them here.
She still can, Jewel says quietly.
Only if she can find you to threaten you, Scarab points out. They'll be safer if you vanish.
Jewel doesn't answer, but her tail lashes across the floor, knocking over a stack of lemons.
Maybe we can bring some of the Hivewing eggs, Tao suggests. The ones who have only been stabbed once, remember? Cricket said that Wasp has to inject each egg twice to be able to control them.
That was her theory, Scarab growls. She could be wrong. It's too risky.
But if we can save some of them, we have to, Jules says. I'll think about it. In the meanwhile, you two go bring as many silkwings here as you can, and then we'll split into teams.
She hurries out of the kitchen again, murmuring lists of tasks to herself. Tao doesn't stop to hear any more of Scarab's grim warnings. She runs out of the kitchen, through Jules' mansion, her talons skidding on the floor. She'll start with the other servants and the prisoners in Jules' dungeon. How many silkwings are there in the whole hive? Will they all listen to her, or to Lady Jewel? How fast can they escape?
Only as fast as our slowest dragons, which includes me.
The terror drives her onward, calling dragon after dragon to the ballroom. She can't get the images out of her head, images of her friends with white eyes, like the mind-controlled hive wings, images of Treehopper slicing ruthlessly through any silkwing who tries to stop him, images of Queen Wasp burning the jungle, killing all the leaf wings, laughing her merciless laugh.
But Cinnabar got away from her. So it's possible, if we can move fast enough. We have to escape. We have to, or none of us will ever be free again.
Snowfall woke up extremely grumpy. That is, first, she woke up in a state of heart-pounding panic, confused and terrified about how she was suddenly asleep on a beach when she should be gathering dragons to escape Jewel Hive. But as her heart rate gradually slowed to normal and she remembered who she actually was, her natural grumpiness returned to the power of 10. What the moons was that?
She glanced down and saw that her claws were shaking. She shoved them as far into the sand as she could until they stopped.
I said, no more visions, she hissed at the ring under her breath.
And this time, she couldn't even pretend she'd just happened to dream about someone she'd seen. She'd never laid eyes on Tao in her life, and probably never would. So either she'd conjured an entire imaginary dragon with a forbidden love and revolutionary friends and an entire hive and about a million more dragons to worry about, or the stupid magic had dragged her brain all the way across the ocean to torture her with scary things she could do nothing about.
What is the point of this?
Snowfall heard someone floundering through the sand toward her. She lifted her head out of her hole, and of course it was Lynx, looking all kinds of wound up.
I have a theory, Lynx cried, as soon as she spotted Snowfall's face.
No, good morning, or hello, your majesty, or sorry for being a judgmental walrus yesterday. Snowfall shook out her wings irritably.
Marvelous, she said.
Let me guess. It involves me doing something wrong.
You woke me up to ask me about weird dreams yesterday, Lynx said, pointing at her. Because you had a weird dream. And that ring you can't get off is called the gift of vision, isn't it? That's why you thought it was about eyesight. But it's not. I think it's giving you weird dreams. Because they're not dreams. They're visions. Get it? See what I mean? Gift of vision?
Great eye spirits. Stop talking already, Snowfall growled. I figured that out about 100 years ago. But even if that's the case, it does not explain why the ring is stuck on my claw. I still think it's broken.
But it is doing something.
Lynx flicked her tail, and now her expression was definitely veering toward excited.
Maybe it's important. Did you have another vision last night? What was it about?
I thought you didn't trust animus magic, and wearing this was a terrible idea, Snowfall said accusingly.
I'm still right about that, Lynx said, but as long as you're stuck with it, we should figure out what it's trying to tell us.
It's not trying to tell me anything, Snowfall protested. It's a ring, an inanimate object, with no agenda or feelings, except
maybe smugness. You're very smug, she snapped at the opal.
Arr! Snowfall, tell me what you saw!
Lynx lashed her tail, sending up gusts of sand.
Something happening back in the Ice Kingdom? Something that's going to happen?
No, Snowfall barked. Nothing useful. Nothing about my tribe or my problems. Nothing important at all. If this is stupid magic, then it's really stupid magic. Why would I, Queen of the Ice Wings, need to know about all the inner emotions of a bunch of rainbow dragons from a completely irrelevant continent that I'll never see?
Inner emotions? Lynx asked. Like, you could feel what the Silkwings were feeling?
First, I was one of those sad snouts, Snowfall said, pointing up the beach. Her name is Atala, total tragedy face, and then last night I was some random dragon named Tau, who was stuck back over there and freaking out. Why would I need to see that? It's not like I can do anything to help her.
Not that she would have, even if she could.
She wasn't going to invite more invasive, strange-looking dragons here.
Lynx said. Maybe you can. Somehow? Maybe. We just need to lay out everything you learned from your visions and figure out what to do about them.
That's not a gift. That's homework, Snowfall snapped. I've had quite enough of that, thank you. I'm queen now. Other dragons should have to do the things I don't want to do.
So tell me about it, Lynx said eagerly. And everything about the first one before you forget it, and I'll figure out what they mean.
Snowfall pointed one claw at her. No, I am going to ignore this nonsense. Are these slow slug dragons ready to fly to Sanctuary yet? Lynx looked as if she wanted to keep arguing, but she stayed quiet as she followed Snowfall up the beach to investigate. And no, of course nobody was ready to go. Of course it took the foreign tribes the entire morning to get organized. And then they decided to leave half the dragons behind so the stronger ones could go ahead and make sure there was a place for everyone. So then they had to resettle the ones they were leaving behind, and then they decided to take a break to eat something. By the time their wings finally lifted into the sky, the sun was high above them. Snowfall was stalking back to summon the rest of her guards when she heard someone say Queen Thorn's name. Her ears pricked, and she turned to see Moon talking to the Sandwing who wasn't Jerboa.
I'll fly ahead and visit Thorn on the way, he said. You know, in case she wants to know why there's a flood of unusual-looking dragons flying over her kingdom. Seems like something she might want a heads up about.
Tell her where they're going, Moon suggested. Sanctuary is technically on the border of Sandwing and Skywing territory, so she should know that they're there.
Ha! Snowfall thought to herself, pacing forward again.
Let's see how she likes it. If Thorn lets all these dragons flap around over her desert and settle on her border, maybe she isn't as strong a queen as everyone thinks.
She wondered how Queen Ruby would feel about these new dragons living on the edge of Skywing territory. Sanctuary was supposed to be a small enclave where dragons who couldn't go home to their own kingdoms could live. Dragons like Snowfall's cousin, Winter, who'd been banished, or the remaining Talons of Peace, who wanted to stay with one another more than they wanted to return to their tribes. Snowfall didn't think Ruby or Thorn had ever imagined it as a refuge for hundreds of strange dragons when they agreed to let the Talons of Peace build it.
And what happens if even more dragons follow them here from Pantala? Is Cinnabar trying to bring all the rest of the Silkwings over too? All of them? From all the hives? Where else can they go, with Queen Wasp and her brain-washed hive wings controlling all of Pantala?
Snowfall cut off that train of thought with a hiss.
That's their problem, not my problem. I have ice wings to take care of. I'm not responsible for anyone else, and I don't care about them.
The terror seemed to still be lingering in her veins, though, and she couldn't shake the urgent, panicked feeling that she had to get an entire city of dragons to safety before it was too late. She wondered how old the vision was. Had that scene happened last night, while Snowfall dreamt it, or days earlier, like her vision of Atala. If it happened days ago, where were Tal and Jewel and Scarab now? Safely hidden or captured?
Don't care. Stop thinking about them. Let's go, she ordered her guards.
They took up their positions in formation around her and followed the silkwings and leafwings away from the ocean, east, into the desert sky. Snowfall glanced back and saw Jerboa sitting outside her hut, watching them leave.
Why doesn't she seem to care more that her magic isn't working? Snowfall wondered.
If she'd been an animus dragon, and then suddenly her power was gone, she'd have absolutely freaked out. Jerboa, on the other talon, seemed mostly amused by how much that annoyed Snowfall. It was still possible she was lying to Snowfall. But if animus magic was working, wouldn't Tsunami's gang of righteous do-gooders have used it to bring all the Pentalon dragons to safety? Or to stop Queen Wasp?
They definitely would. They used it to end the plague and stop Darkstalker. They could solve all the Pentalon dragons' problems with a snap of their claws if they had magic right now. So why don't they? Why would magic just stop working?
Snowfall eyeballed the opal ring. Do you know anything about this? She growled at it. Why do you work, and actual useful magic doesn't?
She shook out her talons grumpily and glared at it again. You know what? How about instead of filling my head with sympathy and nonsense, you give me some information I really need, like a vision that explains what happened to magic?
Maybe that's what she was doing wrong. Maybe she needed to tell the ring what vision she wanted. Oh, that would be simple and so great. Visions of anything she wanted? Why hadn't she thought of this earlier?
Yes, she said firmly. You hear me, ring? Tonight, no more Silkwing nightmares. Just a nice, uncomplicated scene where I find out why animus magic isn't working. This is a good plan.
The opal caught the light and sparkled rainbows at her.
Snowfall couldn't tell if those were, absolutely, Your Majesty, anything you say, rainbows. Or, ha ha ha, I'll give you whatever I want to give you, and there's nothing you can do about it, ha ha, rainbows.
I guess I'll find out tonight. She flew after the ribbon of dragons stretched across the sky, trying to feel confident that she'd solved her problem. But it was hard to shake the ominous feeling that maybe, just perhaps, she'd stumbled into a more dangerous magic than she'd expected.
Chapter 9.
The Icewings, Leafwings, and Silkwings flew in their weird, mismatched crowd over the desert, which, incidentally, was a dreadful place. The sun beat down mercilessly, drying the scales on Snowfall's back until she felt as if they might crack off. How could anyone live in a place like this? It was so hot. Blech. The Leafwings looked almost as unhappy about the heat as she was. Their wingbeats slowed as they flew farther and farther from the ocean, and the vast, treeless landscape spread out below them. Rocks and sand and rocks, and a whole lot of nothing. Jerboa kept saying that nobody would want the Ice Kingdom, but who would prefer this? Of course dragons would rather live in a cool, beautiful, snowy, crystalline place full of polar bears and walruses. What did they have to eat here? Tiny, brittle lizards? Bony, gross-smelling camels? It made much more sense that dragons would want to invade the Ice Kingdom than here. Snowfall was absolutely right to worry about defending it. Moon had some kind of map from her sandwing friend that showed each oasis along their route, so they were able to stop twice for water. Snowfall waded all the way into the tiny springs, trying to soak every drop into her scales. It suddenly seemed slightly insane to her that her tribe had ever fought with the Sandwings, when this territory was the absolute worst, and they couldn't possibly want anything here. It was late in the afternoon when they caught their first glimpse of the mountains ahead, like a long, giant dragon spine curled across the horizon. They were mostly green and brown, but dappled with glorious snow at the peaks.
Tal has never seen mountains, Snowfall thought,
and then caught herself thinking that and was furious.
So what? She demanded of her brain. I've never seen one of these hive cities, and I'm perfectly happy about it.
She put on a burst of speed to catch up to Hazel, who looked a little surprised to be approached, but too tired to have much more of a reaction.
Hello, question for you, Snowfall said. How many dragons did you leave behind?
On Jerboa's beach? Hazel asked.
About...
No, Snowfall interrupted. Back on Pantala, how many dragons did you leave there?
Oh, Hazel blinked. Well, the Leafwing Army, I guess you'd call it. Everyone who went with Queen Sequoia to fight. They must have been exposed to the breath of evil right away. They're probably under Wasp's power now.
She bit her lip and furrowed her brow and did some more odd things with her face, which Snowfall eventually realized were all Hazel trying not to cry.
I hope some of them managed to escape, though. And then there's the rest of the Silkwings and all the hives. Hundreds of them, but I don't know exactly how many. The ones who flew over with us are only from three of the hives, and they were in a group called the Chrysalis. They'd come to the jungle to help us fight the hive wings.
But that went horribly wrong, Snowfall said. And now all the Silkwings you left behind are in danger.
Yes?
Hazel trailed off and gave her a sideways, confused expression.
You sound kind of worried about them?
I'm not, Snowfall cried. I'm definitely not.
Maybe just a little worried about Tao, but not really. Only because of a dopey magic spell giving me weird dreams.
No, she added firmly. If I am at all worried, it is because I am wondering whether all those dragons are going to end up floundering into my kingdom sometime soon as well.
It is very hard to get across the ocean, Hazel said. I mean, we hope they'll try. But I can't predict how many, or if they'll succeed, or when, if that's what you're asking.
Nightwing! Snowfall bellowed, startling Hazel into losing her flight rhythm for a moment. Up ahead, Moon twisted around, looking puzzled. Snowfall beckoned to her, and Moon came soaring back to fly on the other side of Hazel.
Yes? Moon said cautiously.
You can see the future, can't you? Snowfall demanded. Winter told me you had some prophecy about Darkstalker, not that it helped anyone at all.
Are you ever useful? Can you predict if the other Silkwings are going to make it to this continent?
Moon stammered, flustered.
My visions aren't specific like that. I caught a glimpse of this group arriving, but I haven't seen any other Pentalan dragons. That doesn't mean they won't make it, though.
And we can't poke your head to find out? Snowfall asked. Like, summon a vision or whatever?
I thought you could, Hazel admitted. I mean, I thought Clearsight could, from what I've read. So I thought you all could see whatever you wanted.
Moon shook her head.
Clearsight's power was unusual. All I get is flashes whenever the universe feels like giving them to me. And the occasional cryptic prophecy.
She shut her mouth quickly, but Snowfall had already caught the shift in her eyes. Aha! She said. You had a cryptic prophecy about all this, didn't you?
That's right. Tsunami said you did. Hazel's eyes lit up. Did it mention the breath of evil? Did it tell you how we can rescue everyone and save Pantala?
Not exactly, Moon admitted reluctantly.
I mean, the key word here is cryptic, remember?
Tell us anyway, Snowfall commanded. We will uncryptic it for you.
Moon sighed and then recited. Turn your eyes, your wings, your fire, to the land across the sea, where dragons are poisoned and dragons are dying, and no one can ever be free. A secret lurks inside their eggs. A secret hides within their book. A secret buried far below may save those brave enough to look. Open your hearts, your minds, your wings to the dragons who flee from the hive. Face a great evil with talons united,
or none of the tribes will survive.
There was silence for several wing beats after she finished. Hazel stared off into the sky ahead of them, her brow furrowed, her mouth moving as she repeated the prophecy quietly to herself.
"Well," Snowfall said finally, "I do not like that. No, I do not. Darkstalker was quite enough great evil for me."
She saw Moon flinch when she said Darkstalker's name, which was interesting. Did the Nightwing feel guilty about everything that had happened with him? Or did she feel guilty because she was totally lying about him actually being gone? Wasn't it possible that he was the great evil? After all, how many great evils could there possibly be?
"Hang on," she said, her thoughts swerving onto a new track. "Did you say none of the tribes will survive?"
"That's the prophecy," Moon said, spreading her front talons in an "I have no idea" gesture.
"But you mean none of the Pentallon tribes," Snowfall clarified. "Right? Just those three? Not the 7 tribes on this continent. It has nothing to do with us, right?"
"I think it might mean all of us," Link said, suddenly and very unwelcomely.
Snowfall hadn't even noticed her pop up below them.
"I mean, it starts off talking to us. Turn your eyes to the land across the sea, right? And then face a great evil with talons united. That sounds like it's talking about all the tribes, here and there."
"Bosh," said Snowfall. "We can't unite to face an evil that's all the way across the ocean, even if we wanted to. Which, to be clear, the Icewing tribe does not."
"There are 7 tribes here?" Hazel asked Moon. "Each with its own queen?"
Moon nodded. "Yes. We should call a council and see if they'll all come," she said. "They should know about you and Pentala and everything happening over there."
"Oh, marvelous," Snowfall thought grouchily. "All the queens who annoy me in one place, arguing and telling me what to do.
On the plus side, staying in Sanctuary for a queen council would mean avoiding the wall for a few more days. But listening to Thorn and Ruby and Morhen and Coral and, worst of all, Glory go on and on about unity and working together and mutual trust and all that sort of nonsense was basically Snowfall's nightmare. Blur!
"I'll tell Tsunami," Moon said, tilting her wings. "I'm sure she can organize some dragons from Sanctuary to take messages to the queens."
She flew off toward the pair of sea wings.
"It's amazing that all your queens get along so well," Hazel said wistfully. "I wish we could have 3 tribes peacefully coexisting on Pentala."
"Ha!" Snowfall said. "Peacefully coexisting? We just got out of a war. 2, technically, if you count the Icewing-Nightwing war I tried to have before that busybody Animus interfered."
"You did?"
Hazel said, wide-eyed. "Long story," Snowfall added with a snort.
"I'll explain it," Lynx offered, and then spent the rest of the flight telling Hazel about the War of Sandwing Succession and how it started, and all about the prophecy, and how the shiny heroic dragonettes finally ended it.
Personally, Snowfall thought they got an awful lot of credit considering the real heroes were a deadly snake and an old enchanted orb. If there'd been an Icewing in the prophecy, she probably would have ended the war way sooner and more neatly. But whatever, not Snowfall's problem. As they started their descent into Sanctuary, Snowfall was startled to see how much bigger it was than she'd imagined. The new dragon village was built along a stream, trickling downhill from a lake in the foothills of the Claws of the Clouds Mountains. Some of the new dragon buildings were in the wildflower meadows, while some were under the trees of the forest. It was very disorganized, as far as Snowfall could see. Each dragon home looked completely different from the next. Here there was a weird mound of clay, with a hole at the top. Then right beside it, there'd be a rough cabin made of logs and leaves, while over by the lake, there were a couple of crooked structures poking half in and half out of the water. Upon landing, Snowfall noticed that there were also more dragonettes than she'd expected, and some of them were really odd-looking. The first one she saw was a tiny thing playing in the stream, pouncing on fish. Its scales were a deep mahogany brown, like a mudwing's, but speckled with phosphorescent bluish scales along its spine and wings, and as far as she could tell, its talons were webbed, like a sea wing's. Nearby, a little cluster of orange and red dragonettes were gathered around a sky wing, listening as he read them a scroll. But two of the red dragonettes had scorpion-like tail barbs, and one of the orange ones had a scattering of black scales across its nose. Snowfall's brain was still contorting itself around this information when a sky-blue sea wing came bounding out of the trees toward them.
"Tsunami!"
he cried, as though the sun itself had arrived to visit him. His whole face was full of joy, which made no sense, because who could possibly be that excited to see the very absolute, most annoying member of the Dragonette Prophecy?
"Hey, Riptide," she said, in a voice that sounded as confident as she usually did, but didn't quite match the funny look on her face.
The two sea wings awkwardly tried to hug, and their wings all went in the wrong directions, and they ended up bonking heads, and then jumping back and flapping about for a bit. Snowfall guessed there was something she could infer from their strange interaction. She wasn't all that interested. She was looking around for her cousin Winter. Was that a flash of white scales in the trees? Snowfall squinted, but whoever it was had vanished again. Or maybe it had been a trick of the light.
"It's so great to see you," Riptide was saying to Tsunami. "I was hoping you'd come see all the changes we..."
His voice trailed off as his eyes followed the line of dragons behind her up into the sky, where more and more dragons were arriving as the slowpokes caught up.
"What?" Riptide tried. "What?
Surprise!" Tsunami said buoyantly. "New dragons for Sanctuary."
"New? All these? But..." Riptide sputtered. "Are those rain wings?"
asked a new voice from Snowfall's right. She turned and saw Winter splashing through the stream, staring up at the arriving silkwings. So that couldn't have been him in the woods.
"Winter!"
Lynx cried with delight. He jumped and dropped his gaze to her, and then to Snowfall standing right next to her.
"Lynx?" he said in a wondering voice. "Snowfall? What are you doing here?"
Lynx cleared her throat and bobbed her head meaningfully in Snowfall's direction.
"I mean, apologies, Your Majesty," he said to Snowfall. "Welcome to Sanctuary."
He even bowed properly, which was mollifying.
"I have come to inspect this new city," Snowfall informed him, "and to make sure these peculiar dragons settle here and don't try to come back into the Ice Kingdom."
"Not that they can," Lynx observed, "given the cliff and everything." "Are they hybrids?"
Winter asked, tilting his head at a leaf wing who was burying her snout in the stream.
"We have a lot of those here. Sea wing, rain wing maybe? But there's so many."
His eyes widened as a silk wing landed, stumbling beside Tsunami.
"That dragon has four wings," he whispered to Lynx. "Wait, so does that one, and that one."
"They're from the other continent,"
Lynx burst out, flinging excitement in all directions.
"It's real, Winter. It's full of dragons, totally different tribes. The colorful ones are silk wings, and the green ones are leaf wings, and there are also two... There, see the yellow and black ones? Those are hive wings."
Snowfall had almost never seen her cousin look confused, let alone this discombobulated. It kind of made the whole trip to Sanctuary worthwhile. Something caught her eye in the trees again. A flash of reflected light in the bushes, a shimmer of scales behind the leaves. But when she turned toward it, there was nothing but wind aimlessly stirring the forest floor. She trusted her instincts, though. Another ice wing was hidden over there, watching her. And whoever it was, they did not want to be seen.
Chapter 10 Are there other ice wings here? Snowfall asked Winter.
A few, he said with a guarded expression. Didn't you know that?
She looked down her snout at him.
Of course, I know that. I merely wish to know how many and who exactly.
I think I shouldn't be the one to tell you that, Your Majesty, he said. I don't know their reasons for being here, but I'm sure they'll tell you if you want to ask them.
Snowfall considered finding this irritating enough to yell at him. She could do that now that she was the queen, and he wouldn't be able to argue back at her or run away, the way he sometimes did when they were dragonettes. She missed her chance, though, because while she was thinking, that awful Nightwing landed and sucked up all the air around Winter's head.
Moon, he said, in a quiet, wondering voice. Hey, Winter,
Moon said nervously. She batted one of her wings at him without actually touching him.
We really miss you at Jade Mountain.
I miss you too, he said. All of you, I mean everything, I miss everyone.
So why aren't you still there? Lynx asked.
For some reason, they all looked at Snowfall. She waited a beat to see if that was a mistake, and then, when everyone kept looking at her, she said, What?
You're the one who said he couldn't go back to the academy, Moon offered.
I did? Snowfall considered this news for a moment. She couldn't remember making a royal decree like that, or even thinking about it at all. She knew two new Icewing Dragonettes had been chosen to go to the academy, and now that she thought about it, those were probably replacing Icicle and Winter. But she had no recollection of anyone asking her whether Winter could keep being a student there or not. She had decided he was still banished from the Ice Kingdom, but she didn't particularly care what he did outside the Ice Kingdom.
I don't actually care, she informed Winter. You can go ahead and study hugs and whatever nonsense happens at that school if you want to. I have much more important things to deal with, like these homeless dragons and all the ones they left behind.
She waved her wings at the tribes that were still landing around them. The meadow was starting to get a bit crowded. Riptide was starting to look slightly panic-stricken.
The ones they left behind? Lynx echoed,
giving her almost the exact same puzzled look Hazel had given her earlier. As if it was so weird for Snowfall to feel even a hint of concern for all the Silkwings still trapped with a creepy evil thing over there.
I'm not saying they should come here, Snowfall snapped at her, but I don't expect these dragons to just give up on them.
One of the Leafwings by the stream looked up and gave her a fierce, intense stare. Snowfall recognized her from the day before. She was the one who might be a threat to Hazel's crown. Sun something. The one who was always frowning and glaring and looking ready for a fight.
What? Snowfall demanded.
We're not giving up on them, the Leafwing said with a hiss. We won't abandon them.
The Leafwing beside her brushed her wing gently.
No one is saying we will, she said.
This pile of icicles just did. Snapped the first Leafwing.
No, love,
the second one said calmly.
Actually, if you were listening, Queen Snowfall is saying exactly what you've been saying for the last 3 days, that we need to make a plan to go back and save everyone.
Yes, exactly. That is what I meant,
Snowfall thought.
Not because I care about any of those dragons over there, just because I want all of these ones to be able to go away again.
I'm Willow. The second Leafwing said to Winter. And this is Sundew. We're very worried about the dragons who are still stuck back on Pentala.
We should go back now, right away, Sundew said. Even if it's just you and me and Cricket, we should take them by surprise before the breath of evil gets any stronger.
Moon shuddered, and Winter turned to her quickly. No, not a vision, she said, before he could ask. Just those words... Breath of evil. They scare me every time.
Imagine how you'd feel if you were stuck on the same continent with it, Snowfall said.
And then half of them gave her the weird look, again. Maybe the ring was also turning her horns bright pink or something? Otherwise, it made no sense that everyone kept reacting as though she'd vomited miniature caribou each time she spoke. Fortunately, Tsunami and Riptide and Hazel arrived to create a distraction.
"Riptide has plenty of room here," Tsunami announced briskly. "Everyone can stay."
"That's not what I said," Riptide objected. "I said, I don't know where we can possibly put them all, but they can stay for a few nights while we figure this out."
"Ha," Snowfall flicked her tail at Tsunami. "See, even your precious friend and his heartwarming togetherness project don't want all these sad snouts. I'm not the bad guy. My reaction is the normal one. No offense," she added to Hazel.
Tsunami shot a glare at Riptide and he backpedaled quickly.
"Of course I want them," he said. "We can make this work. I mean, this more than quadruples the number of dragons living here, but I just have to, and maybe if we, but then the, I mean, yes, of course, they can stay."
"Great," Tsunami said, now beaming at him. "I knew we could count on you."
"We can help," Hazel promised. "Leafwings prefer to build our homes in the trees anyway, so we won't take up any extra ground space. And the Silkwings can make their own webs. Maybe their silk could be useful."
Snowfall could tell that Hazel was trying really hard not to glance pointedly at some of the more ramshackle buildings around them.
"Besides, we're not staying long," Sundew cut in. "We're going back to Pentala just as soon as we figure out how to defeat the breath of evil."
Hazel and Willow exchanged a glance that made even Snowfall feel all bristly. She wasn't surprised when Sundew let out a hiss and stalked off toward the lake.
"Queen Snowfall," Hazel said, "would you be able to stay with us a few more days?"
"Me?" Snowfall said, fluffing out her wings. "Here? Why?"
"So we can summon the other queens, of course," Tsunami said. "For a big old queen summit. Not because we want you around. Don't worry."
"Don't be rude to my queen," Link said sharply.
"I'd really appreciate it, Your Majesty," Hazel interjected, her eyes wide. "You're the only one I know. I'd feel so much better if I had a friend among the queens."
3 moons, Snowfall. Tell me you are not melting into a puddle just because this strange green dragon called you a friend. She doesn't know you at all, and vice versa. Why would I even want a friend from another tribe? What good can she possibly do for the Icewings? It's not like an alliance with her would make us stronger. But there are other perfectly logical, queenly reasons to stay. I mean, I don't want all the other queens meeting without me. Who knows what they would say about me if I wasn't here? They might plot and scheme and make smug faces. Staying is the right thing to do for the Icewing tribe. I need to know what everyone is up to anyway.
"Very well," Snowfall said, trying to sound bored. "We can stay until the other queens arrive, but tell them to make it snappy. I can't be gone from my palace for too long."
"Let's go choose the messengers,"
Riptide said to Tsunami, tucking her away before she could say whatever snarky thing was building up inside her snout.
"Show me around," Link said to Winter. "I want to see everything."
"Of course," he said,
and then after a moment of hesitation added,
"Moon, do you want to come too?"
The Nightwing nodded a little vaguely. She had a kind of distracted air about her most of the time, as though invisible dragons were whispering in her ears while everyone was talking.
"Oh," Snowfall realized, "because she's listening to our thoughts." "I know you can hear my thoughts, Nightwing. Here's one for you. I think your entire tribe is a bunch of malevolent, fire-snorting toads."
Moon jumped slightly, gave Snowfall a wounded look, and followed Winter and Lynx off into the meadow. Hazel and Willow stood around for a moment, as though they weren't sure that Snowfall was done with them, and then finally went off in the same direction Sundew had gone. Snowfall waded into the stream, which was brilliantly cold, like melted snow. She stood there, letting her scales cool down as she studied the dragons scattered across Sanctuary.
From where she stood, she could see dragons from almost every tribe. Sandwings, Skywings, Seawings, Mudwings, even a couple of Rainwings, although at first glance she mistook them for Silkwings. But no Icewings, as far as she could see. She was about to think, well, ha, that makes sense, because our kingdom is so amazing, why would anyone want to leave it? But then she had to admit, she didn't see any Nightwings either, which sort of undercut her theory. And Winter said there were other Icewings here. So where were they? Why hadn't they come out to see the giant throng of new visitors? The sanctuary dragons seemed curious rather than afraid of the strange tribes. Snowfall wondered if that was because some of them were so odd-looking themselves, or because they were used to living with other kinds of dragons already. She watched the little brown dragon with phosphorescent blue scales dart up to a silkwing, circle his talons slowly, and then sit down to gulp up at his four indigo and orange wings. And then another flicker of white caught her gaze. Moving through the trees on the other side of the meadow, that was definitely an Icewing. Snowfall bounded out of the water and charged across the grass, scattering clumsy dragonettes in her wake. In the shadows of the trees, there was a whirl of white wings as the Icewing turned and fled. Fled from her, Queen Snowfall, the indignity. Snowfall doubled her pace as she plunged into the trees. Pine needles slipped under her talons, and the smell of damp leaves filled her snout. Squirrels shouted angry, chirpy things at her as she raced past, dodging tree trunks. Ahead, she could see her prey's white tail flickering. A shady forest at twilight wasn't exactly the best place for an Icewing to hide.
The best place is the Ice Kingdom, Snowfall thought irritably. Why would any sensible dragon ever leave it?
Because of me, her brain offered with an awful jolt. Because they think I'm a terrible queen, just like all the dragons in that Nightwing battle. Maybe Icewings are sneaking out of the kingdom in droves because they're afraid I'm going to ruin the whole tribe or do something dreadful. She shook her head fiercely. It was unlikely she'd catch this dragon with speed, since she was tired from flying all day. She could try throwing a spear or a knife, although that would be kind of a violent way to find out who it was. But wait, she had magic. Snowfall skidded to a stop and banged the wristbands of stealth together, imagining herself invisible. And then she was. She couldn't even see her own talons. The bushes behind her seemed to shiver in a non-existent breeze as she flicked them with her tail. She carried on after the fleeing Icewing, but now she moved more slowly, trying to sneak up on whoever it was. It was hard to be quiet in such a noisy, crackly, yippy place, but soon she heard someone gasping for air up ahead. The Icewing thought Snowfall had lost its trail. It had stopped, panting, next to a giant boulder half covered in poison ivy. Snowfall crept toward it, one talon, then the next, keeping her eyes fixed on the shimmering white scales beyond the foliage. And then she pounced! Debris flew up in all directions as she slammed into the Icewing, tumbling talons over wings until they both crashed into the bare side of the boulder. Snowfall recovered first. She shook out her wings and leaped to pin down the other dragon.
Ack! Her captive shrieked. I'm sorry, I'm sorry!
Snowfall blinked down at the pale blue eyes, the long, graceful neck, and the unmistakable face of her missing sister. Part 2. Sanctuary and Scavengers. Chapter 11.
Crystal? Snowfall blurted.
She sat up and used the bracelets to turn herself visible again. Her sister's eyes widened as Snowfall shimmered into view.
Did you follow me here?
Follow you? Crystal said indignantly. You're the one who chased me through the woods.
Because you were lurking, suspiciously, Snowfall cried. How long have you been watching me?
I have not been watching you,
Crystal objected.
I don't have any desire to watch you. I've been staying far away from you. You're the one who came to my nice, quiet place. What are you doing here?
She pushed ineffectively at Snowfall's talons.
Also, can you please get off already?
Wait, Snowfall said, backing up so Crystal could climb to her feet.
You mean, you've been here? In Sanctuary? This whole time?
She was having about 80,000 emotions at once, and it was very overwhelming.
Did this mean Crystal hadn't been skulking around the Ice Palace at any point? But what about her nefarious plots? And why would she come here?
Was Snowfall in danger? Was this all a trap?
Admittedly, even she couldn't quite imagine how Crystal could have engineered an invasion of mystery dragons just to get Snowfall to visit Sanctuary. But her pounding heart and shaking claws were having some trouble coming up with any other explanation for this.
Crystal! Here! Lying in wait!
Crystal glanced around as though she had never thought about where she was.
I mean, I suppose I've been here since Mother died, more or less, she said.
Doing what? Snowfall demanded. Plotting? Gathering an army? Hiring assassins?
Her sister looked faintly amused.
If I wanted to hire an assassin, I wouldn't start in a community of scavenger huggers like this. I'd go straight to the Scorpion Den.
So you have thought about it, Snowfall said accusingly.
A sudden crashing in the undergrowth warned Snowfall just in time. She spun as a dragon threw himself out of the trees at her head. He flew past, clipping her on the nose with his wings and ricocheted off the boulder. She ducked again as he lunged back toward her, but this time he was able to pivot and slam her into a tree.
I knew it. I knew Crystal was planning to kill me.
Crystal was shouting something, but Snowfall couldn't hear the words over the grunts and snarls of her opponent as she kicked him in the chest. He had brown scales and a flat, square head and heavy talons. A mudwing. Crystal had formed an alliance with the mudwings. Did she have Queen Morhen on her side? Snowfall had always found Morhen the least annoying of the other queens, but maybe her quiet demeanor was all an act while she conspired with Crystal. With a hiss of rage, Snowfall summoned the strength magic. She sank her talons into the mudwing and threw him off into the forest. He hurtled out of sight, smashing a path through the branches. A moment later, there was a resounding thud in the distance. Crystal shrieked and pelted after him, and Snowfall chased her into the trees.
That's what happens, she shouted at her sister. I'm not as easy to kill as you think.
Crystal didn't even look back. She ran full tilt along the path of destruction until she found the mudwing lying flat on his back at the other end, wings flung out to either side.
Garriel, she cried, crouching beside him. Garriel, are you all right?
Saving you,
he wheezed.
Not very well, you great hippo, Crystal scolded. She wasn't even attacking me.
But dangerous,
he managed to gasp. Crystal looked over her shoulder at Snowfall, who had paused at the edge of the glade, puzzled by the tableau. Crystal was clutching the mudwing's front talons in her own, and he had this bonkers, moony expression on his face as he gazed up at her. He must have hit his head really hard to be making that face, especially at Crystal, of all dragons.
Are you here to kill me?
Crystal asked Snowfall.
No, Snowfall said. I mean, not unless you're planning something. Should I?
Kill me? No, thank you, Crystal said. Snowfall, how could I possibly be plotting against you or trying to kill you? We swore an oath to our mother, remember? I promised not to try to take the throne from you.
Yes, Snowfall said. But you... But still, what if you...
She trailed off. Somehow it had never occurred to her that Crystal would take that oath so seriously.
I mean, if you're not plotting something,
Why did you disappear?
She demanded. Well, Crystal said, to be honest, I was pretty sure you were going to kill me. The oath said not to fight for the throne. It didn't say anything about keeping your sisters and possible threats alive.
Pfft, Snowfall snorted.
I'm not the kind of queen who kills all her heirs just to feel safe. That's pure stupidity. I had somewhere else I wanted to be, Crystal said, looking down at the Mudwing again. Or rather, someone else I wanted to be with. Snowfall tilted her head at them. This still made no sense to her. Where else would anyone want to be besides the Ice Kingdom? Here, in this noisy, fluttery forest full of dragons from other tribes? Why?
Snowfall, this is Gariel, Crystal said. We met during the war, when his troop joined our army to fight Blister. Once I was home again, I couldn't stop thinking about him.
Oh, Snowfall said. Oh. Now Crystal was making the same schmoopy face as he had, and she didn't have a head injury as an excuse. Crystal was in love with this Mudwing. Of all the absurd brain melt.
This is the secret Lynx guessed she had. I think Mother knew, actually, Crystal said. Or guessed, at least. I think that might be partly why she didn't give me the crown.
Because she was so horrified? Snowfall supplied. Crystal whipped her head up and frowned at her.
No, because she knew it would tear me apart if I had to choose between the Icewing throne and the dragon I love. He could never come to the Ice Palace. If I were queen, there'd be no future for us.
This was the silliest thing Snowfall had ever heard. Choosing a romance over being queen of an entire kingdom? A romance with a Mudwing, no less?
For the first time since the battle with the Nightwings, Snowfall felt a brief, shining moment of, you know what? My mother did pick the right dragon to be queen.
All that worrying, the endless nightmares and stress and peering around corners, thinking Crystal was lurking in every shadow with murderous intent. And the whole time, Crystal was here, throwing away her kingdom and being a total sap about someone who was, frankly, a very ordinary-looking brown dragon.
Well, Snowfall said, sitting down, folding her wings neatly and letting out a yawn. You could have told me instead of sneaking off and giving me a months-long panic attack.
Could I have told you?
Crystal said skeptically.
Wouldn't you have made that exact disgusted face and tried to forbid me from leaving?
Snowfall made an effort to rearrange her expression, but she could tell it wasn't working. Probably, she agreed.
Because what are you thinking? A Mudwing?
I'm right here, Gariel said weakly.
You don't know anything about love,
Crystal said haughtily, flicking her tail at Snowfall.
Or Mudwings, for that matter.
Yeah, and I'm way better off that way, Snowfall pointed out. She got up and turned back toward the center of Sanctuary.
Very well, then. If you're really not planning to assassinate me, I'm going to bed.
Nice to meet you,
Gariel wheezed as she left.
Snowfall's wings ached from flying all day, but she felt lighter than she could remember feeling in forever. As though her scales were made of moonlight, shining through the dark clouds that had been around her.